Welcome to Track 4. Our session today is on Consider Your Counsel, addressing 10 mistakes in our biblical counseling. I would like us to join together in prayer as we begin. Join me. Heavenly Father, as I thought about this session and looking at ways we can grow with Track 4 biblical counselors, give us the humility, myself and each of us who listens, to think, is this an area where I can grow in? We all, as we'll talk about in this session, want to grow in progressive sanctification and our Christlikeness. May you give us that same humility and the strength and power of your Spirit to grow in progressive sanctification in our counseling competence. So we just ask you that there'd be clarity of presentation, clarity of understanding as we go through this session together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Track 4, I feel a little bit like Buddy the Elf in the Elf movie. Santa, I know him. So many of you in Track 4, I know him, I know her. They're such an encouragement to me. So what's our focus together? In our biblical counseling world, we talk a lot, appropriately so, about self-counsel and self-confrontation for personal growth in Christ. This session, Consider Your Counsel, applies self-counsel and self-confrontation to our growth as a counselor. We're examining together common mistakes that even experienced biblical counselors sometimes make, like Track 4 folks and like me. Even more, we're learning together how to address 10 mistakes in our biblical counseling so we grow more competent to counsel. So, first question, how open are you to considering your counseling, to assessing areas where you could grow as a biblical counselor? Now, some people are like, bring it on. I want to keep growing. I have one in my church right here, Dan Brewer. Dan is a student in the MABC here at Faith Bible Seminary. Dan was getting his ACBC certification from Dr. Steve Byers and really enjoying that process. I moved into the area about that time. My wife and I, we joined the church. Dan got to know me and he's like, I'd like to have you counsel me too. I'm like, you want to be supervised, and not counsel, but supervised. You want to be supervised by Steve Byers and Bob Kellerman? Are you a glutton for punishment? And he's like, bring it on. So I hope that we're all like Dan Brewer in that. But sometimes, kind of like this PowerPoint image, we're kind of defensive about that. Sometimes we can be a tad defensive when it comes to receiving feedback about our counseling. You know, you can think and interact in your own heart with another person. What might be behind this defensiveness? How could we address this defensiveness biblically? Because we want to talk about some mistakes that I think we make individually as biblical counselors, and maybe as a pattern or theme, some mistakes we might make at times as a movement. So we need to be like Dan Brewer and have that bring it on. Anything I can do, if it means Steve Byers and Bob Kellerman both giving me supervision feedback, I want to grow as a biblical counselor. So let's talk a little bit about the foundation before we look at these 10 mistakes. Progressive sanctification as a biblical counselor. You know, why even explore this? What motivated me even to do this? Well, as I said in my prayer, our biblical counseling movement certainly is known for our focus on progressive sanctification. We're also known, obviously, for our focus on the sufficiency and relevancy of Scripture. God's word is sufficient and relevant to help us to grow in grace in progressive sanctification. And what I'm doing in this session is saying it would be unusual for people like us who say the Scriptures are all about helping us to grow in Christlikeness to say, but I don't want to grow as a counselor. So really, this session is applying principles of progressive sanctification to our biblical counseling. It'll talk about some things to put off. It'll talk about some things to put on. Very similar to that, our movement talks a lot about self-counsel, self-confrontation. I mean, think about the meaning of the word nouthetic for nouthetic biblical counseling, to confront out of concern for change and growth. So again, it would be unusual for us individually as biblical counselors and corporately as a biblical counseling movement to say, well, we're all about change, but we don't want anybody to talk to us about change. So as a movement and as individuals, I want this session to help us think through ways we can grow. I think it's healthy. I think it's humble to do something like this, but I want to be honest, another H word, healthy, humble, and I'm hesitant to do this. I was hesitant to write the blog series that turned into the book and hesitant to do this session. And here's why. I don't want to foster a negative perception or negative stereotypes about biblical counseling. I'm a big fan of biblical counseling. I'm a biblical counselor. I spent 30, 35 years lifelong ministry of doing biblical counseling and training biblical counselors in churches, Bible colleges, and seminaries. So I have a hesitancy. So let me share with you a little bit. Why did I even produce this material? What motivated me? So I do supervise a lot of students, like a Dan Brewer and many others, a husband and wife team of students who were in one of my labs, and I had supervised each of them. They asked me a question. It went like this. Bob, we're not asking about all the good stuff we do, my wife and I, and all of us as biblical counselors, We're interested in the consistent areas where you sense a need for growth as biblical counselors. So look, you've supervised people, you've done scores and scores of labs. You would be a good person to step back and say, not just the strengths of the movement, but what are things we need to work on? That began to motivate me. Again, I was still kind of hesitant, but it motivated me. For one reason, I am a collator of patterns. That's just kind of how I'm wired. I also am a keeper of notes. So I started thinking, well, I'm going to go back to my supervision notes, my lab class notes, and I'm going to look at themes and to follow their question, not just the good stuff. And so I started asking this question of myself. What patterns, themes, and threads of blind spots do I detect in rookie and veteran biblical counselors, myself included, from which we could learn and grow? And notice that myself included. Each of these 10, there are times I still, to this day, I can write the book on them, and I can still fall into those sort of errors or mistake. So this is not about those folks out there. It's about me. It's about us in Track 4. It's about all of us individually and as a movement, wanting to be more like Dan Brewer, wanting to grow in our biblical counseling. So I distilled out of all that research 10 mistakes. And notice what I want to do here. You'll notice, and I don't know if I'll get through all 10. The book will have all 10 if I don't. But however many I get through, I'll spend a little bit of time talking about the mistake. I'll spend most of my time talking about what we can do instead. So almost like, here's a put off. Don't do this. Here's a put on. Let's do more of this good stuff. That's my heart in this, drawing positives out of negatives. Here's an issue. Here's how we might be able to grow together as biblical counselors. So addressing this first mistake. Mistake number one, we elevate data collection above soul connection. I like this one because it's kind of sing-songy, right? Data collection, soul connection. I want to start with the positive. I think as a biblical counseling movement, we do a fine job with data collection. We have been rightly, from the beginning of the movement, told verses like Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening is folly and shame. We do a good job of collecting data, of asking good questions. We have our 4- and 5-page personal information form. I want to say, keep it up. Keep up the data collection, but let's add to it this soul connection. Let's keep doing the Proverbs 18:13. Let's keep doing the PIF. Let's keep asking good questions. But look at the two images here. One image is just that soul connection, that empathy, that care and concern. The other is a mechanic with a computer manual looking at a car engine. Here's the struggle. I think sometimes in our data collection, we can treat human beings, image bearers, as car engines or computers, as data. People as old as me remember the old Dragnet show and Sergeant Friday. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. We can be clinical. We can be aloof. We can be distant. We are not car engines to be tinkered with. We are image bearers created in the Trinitarian, communitarian, relational image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not lab specimens. Let me just give you an example of what this looks like. I mentioned that I teach a lot of lab classes. And so this is an example that I could bring together from numerous different people. But one student had reams of notes, reams of questions. And in our labs, we do real-life counseling with